Alright, welcome members. Adam plugging in here on Monday night, the 14th of March 2022 for the nightly news wrap-up and breakdown. Hope you guys are doing fine and thanks so much for all your support and chugging in that cup of coffee each month. It helps me greatly just to continue here and keep that website up and rock and rolling. I'm very strange times indeed, so just sitting down here tonight to cover my thoughts and the latest articles or whatever's in front of me or whatever I'm thinking in this moment. Everything's up on crazfiles.com. Hope you guys are enjoying that and enjoying the podcasts and the articles and stuff going up, and contact me anytime, of course, through the website about anything, or send through any links or anything like that, and hi to the guys over there on the Telegram channel and in the chat room on the Crazz Files, and to it just plugging in and following. I was just going to look at the COVID jabs tonight and, you know, this kind of harvesting of the DNA and whether this technology interferes with our DNA, because it's a pretty hot topic at the moment. And looking before even on like DuckDuckGo and stuff like that, it's all fact checkers now. It's unbelievable. They're just fact checking the entire internet and they don't want us asking anything. But it is a hot topic, isn't it? You know, do these COVID-19 injections mess with our DNA, our very makeup, our genetic coding, our genes in any way? Because we are hearing this now. And so, you know, when you look for it and you search for it online, it's just no, 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 they're not. But it is a very, very important question that we have to start bringing up. I did, you probably heard the clip of Klaus Schwab, anal swab, talking about these gene editing technology. And, you know, if you get it, it changes you. Doesn't change what you do in the world around you in this new global great reset that they're building, but it changes you. Did you hear that video? I've just got a tiny clip here just to prove the point that I saved from YouTube. I'll just play it for you now. This is Klaus Schwab talking about this.
We are doing, but it changes us.
The difference of this forced industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing. Just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah, and of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. Genetic editing. Great. You know, he doesn't want to say the COVID jabs, but that's what he means. And then you go online and they're all telling you, no, it doesn't. And it doesn't stay in the body and it doesn't affect your DNA and all of this. But here's Klaus Schwab telling you that if you take a genetic editing tool or technology into your body, it's you who are changed, basically forever. And so it's an interesting topic. You know, I mean, I know because I've had family who have had the jabs, and I know a lot of people went and got it, and they got it because they were threatened at work, that you won't have a job, that you don't have a job if you don't get these jabs. And this is, we were all coerced and bullied and intimidated into doing this and getting these jabs when it was all completely illegal. Everything that has been done to push these jabs, everything, as this whole COVID-19 scam has been absolutely criminal and illegal. And it shows you these creatures running this planet, they have no care. They do what they want. These Masonic demons, you know, and but you got to think, geez, man, like most people that I've spoken to, or a large majority of people, they have that thought in their mind that they've heard in the media that some people are having reactions to the jabs, and that there could be a possibility that I could have that, but traveling and working and all this stuff and not having a place in society is too important to me, and I'm going to go and get them. But do you think that they would have got these jabs if they were told that those jabs were cutting and editing and changing and even, or manipulating or even producing new DNA in the body or something like that? I mean, if you told people, if these people went down and sit in the doctor's office to get a jab, and the doctor said, just be aware that these mRNA technology actually messes with your genes, your DNA, your makeup, what makes you you, your genetic DNA coding. It messes with it and changes it or whatever. Are you aware of that? Do you think most people would have done that? I guess people who are atheists would, you know? People who have this atheist outlook that you're just born and you die and you rot in the earth and that's it and it's over. There's no afterlife. There's no soul, consciousness, nothing. I guess when they're told that, they wouldn't care because you only live once, so it doesn't matter. But for those of us who know that that's not true, and we have a mind, body, spirit, a consciousness and soul, this is this is really the final assault, isn't it? The final terror. This is really the worst of the worst, if you think about it, because this is changing human beings forever. And once that change has been made, you can never go back to your original way or form. And this is what we were talking about, some shows in countries like Chile, in South America. That's the first country to bring in laws to protect genetically modified or mutated or mutants. People who have had 3-4 bloody jabs, it's to protect them. We were talking about this the other night with Donna. I guess any conditions or things or whatever they display. This is crazy. Look it up. It's real. You know, laws to protect mutants now. And we talked about this technology, how it's changing people and all of this. And this technology that's actually inside people isn't yours. It's a patent. So it's owned by companies, corporations. So, you know, you got to sort of think, whoa, what's going on here, you know? What is all this about? Excuse me, folks, there was a beeping in the background. And so it's an interesting topic. And it's playing on my mind a little bit today. So I thought I would just go over what I have in front of me and what I've saved. And, you know, some of this might be on the website, some of it may not be. And as I said, I was looking today around even on, DuckDuckGo. And it's all fact-checking, telling you no. So they're getting into that now, you know. So if we start off pretty simple and we have a look at some of the articles I did save. This one was from Tot, Internet of Bodies, are COVID tests harvesting DNA? This happened in Victoria, where, you know, Dan Andrews, the dictator, did this massive blitz of, you know, swipes, testing and swabbing of people for the fake COVID-19 virus. And people's DNA got shipped off somewhere else, didn't it? So this is interesting. This is something that people just didn't think about. The rise of collecting data from the human body is accelerating very fast. And so with the Internet of Bodies transforming healthcare and jeopardizing our most intimate personal information, basically what makes you you, As DNA collection becomes more commonplace in medicine, could COVID-19 testing programs actually be the target COVID genomic harvesting operation in history? So Australia has unveiled a national COVID-19 genomics surveillance program. The Queensland Premier, who's an absolute lunatic, for our listeners who might not be aware, in Queensland, this lunatic who's Jewish, she's trying to do what Daniel Andrews did in Victoria. She's trying to bring in permanent state of emergency laws, which will be very bad. So there's big gatherings there today, and it's gonna continue and grow every day until they stop it. But this is the same thing that happened in Victoria, and they didn't stop it, and it went through anyway. I think I saved. Oh yeah, here it is. Just to create a side note anyway with some of the older stories. Well, you know, a week ago that I was saving. Creating a little side note from what I'm talking about here. This is one from Humans Are Free. WHO is calling for a new global public health world order to legally bind 194 nations to medical martial law in case of a future pandemic. So in order to prevent another pandemic, the World Health Organization wants to create an international pandemic treaty that would restrict and legally bind 194 member nations to medical martial law. The United States would need to give up its national sovereignty under the plan, including all civil and health rights. Every other country that is part of the United Nations, that's Australia, folks, would be expected to do the same if they have not already. Mr. Klaus Schwab here again, quote, "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect and reimagine and reset our world." So you piece of filthy shit, and your big rich buddies, because you're psychos and you talk like Dracula, because that's what he talks like, Count Dracula. "I want to suck your blood and you'd eat your blood and inject you with things and control your mind and bleed your thoughts because I'm gay." There you go, you know. So, you know, they had an assembly back in December where they were talking about these policies, folks. And I mean, we're thinking about, geez, you know, states are starting to bring in this permanent state of emergency pandemic laws, which gives them, you know, the right to do whatever the hell they want for the rest of our lives. And we've got enough to fight there, and we're worried about that. And here are these maniacs who are trying to grab the ultimate and complete control. This is the final terror. The final terror where the... Have you seen that movie? Reminded me of that movie where these campers get attacked by these aliens in the woods, you know. It's an 80s movie. Here you go. The aliens are really going for the throat now. This is kind of I told someone this the other day. They're like, what the hell? They're talking about deadly bioweapon getting released from the Pentagon's bioweapons laboratories in Ukraine. God damn, the fear levels are on high alert, aren't they? It's all smoke and mirrors. So there you go. You know, what's their next plans? What's their next plans? And I thought that was just incredible. To read that, you know? You're like, what? Anyway, yeah, it's just, boy. Let me go back here. I've lost my place. Because that was interesting about the DNA harvesting. I'll just pull it up again because it's important about the tests that were done. You know, that's what was done. That's what's still being done. So, that's where I started. That's what I was chatting about before. This disgusting pig in lipstick in Queensland, this so-called premier, her father's involved with this genomic harvesting and sequencing. And Daniel Andrews is as well. A lot of them are. And you remember with the with this blitz in Victoria, they shut off all the neighbourhoods. They basically forced people into getting these tests. And then these tests, they went offshore to Chinese labs or wherever they went away. And people's personal, and I'm talking personal information, not fucking personal information that's on a plastic computer screen. I'm talking your body, your personal ID, what makes you you, was taken somewhere else. So one thing that is said to increase the intimate interplay between humans and gadgets, particularly in the health industry, you can thank the COVID-19 saga for assisting this shift further. We have all heard about the Internet of Things and emerging post-human world of unprecedented connectivity, in which smart technology will power a new industrial revolution. This is Klaus Schwab's new industrial revolution, the AI, the bots, the machines, not the machines from we're used to, you know, complete control, AI, man. For years, this field has been a very broad spectrum. So today, however, as gadgets become more commonplace and society subcategories that make up the lot world are coming to the surface. So this is the Internet of Bodies, folks. An interesting thing indeed is a major part of the lot revolution that basically connects the human body to a network through devices that are ingested, implanted, or connected to the body in some way, or injected into the body in some way. So these devices monitor the human body, collect health metrics and other personal information, and transmit those data over the internet, the waves. So you may already have devices that come to mind, the pulsing devices and smart meters and all these things, you know. At the present, there are two generations that generally encompass the Internet of Bodies. So the body external, these are wearable devices such as Apple Watches or Fitbits that can monitor our health. So they're getting us used to this through wearing these devices. It's incremental. And the body internal, these include pacemakers, implants, digital pills that go inside our bodies to monitor or control various aspects of our health, and injections. So behind the scenes, a third generation is coming to life with the help of emerging gadgets. Body embedded. The next generation of the Internet of Bodies, including embedded technology, where technology and the human body are melded together and have a real-time connection to a remote machine. Already in progress in wireless connectivity, materials and innovation is allowing implantable medical devices, that's the IMDs, to scale and be viable in many applications. Now it seems as if this generation will become a major interlock of the new world digital dystopia. By the end of this piece, the connections will be made clear. I don't know if I can go through it all, but it's interesting. Before then, let's take a look at the players involved in this discussions relating to this fields. So the usual suspects are the World Economic Forum and Mr. Schwab, Mr. Anil Schwab, Forum, once again at the forefront of this transformation. New information released by the body explores the capabilities of this technology. The Internet of Bodies is here. This is how it could change our lives. So remember, the World Economic Forum were co-hosts of Event 201 and will host the upcoming Great Reset Forum between January 18 and 21. So an important note to keep in mind, which has been done, so they are heavily involved in the COVID-19 saga and also playing a role in the LOB world. How could this be linked and why are they so interested in health technology? So let's have a little continue here. The slow build, mainstream acceptance of invasive COVID-19 testing or any other procedure carried out by the medical cult of scientism doesn't just happen overnight. There is a creeping build for everything. A new world of genetic DNA harvesting first takes root in common medical devices, and once ingrained into society, incremental improvements are made to eventually trap the masses. This is the iPhones, isn't it? They give you a basic product, and then over time they incrementally make it better through improvements and software updates and all of this. This is ensnaring you in the trap. They've already got the technology. They're just feeding it to people incrementally over again. And this is similar to televisions, smartphones, and many other products and aspects of the web of control. The web of control. So now common medical assistance technology are doing way more than simply monitoring a condition. They are also collecting and analyzing and storing other parts of the human body. Many naysayers believe that COVID-19 tests with capabilities to harvest DNA is science fiction. I take a look at a few examples of the frontier of medical science, and what they are achieving will show you that this theory is not very far-fetched at all. Smart pills, which we've talked about on the show many, many times, they're currently in use. So they have edible electronic sensors and computer chips in them. So once you swallow them, these digital pills can collect data from organs and then send it to remote devices connected to the internet. So we got the first digital chemotherapy pill is now in use, combining chemotherapy drugs with a sensor that captures, records, and shares information with healthcare providers. This allows them to regarding the drug dosage and time, plus other data on rest, activity, heart rate, and more. Smart contact lenses. They're going to integrate sensors and chips that can monitor health diagnostics based on information from the eye and the eye fluid. Smart contact lenses in development aims to monitor glucose levels, allowing diabetics to monitor their levels without repeated pinpricks. The brain-computer interface, the BCI devices, where a person's brain is actually merged with an external device for monitoring and controlling in real time. The ultimate goal is to help allow function of the body using brain signals rather than normal neuromuscular pathways. Bioengineering company Biohacks has embedded chips in more than 4,000 people for convenience. The acceptance of smart technology is starting to make it a cool thing to consider. Just like hacking your genetic makeup and your DNA. How fucking cool is that? Get jabbed and change your DNA. Cool, dude. Little do people know that they're unleashing a world where unregulated companies and technologies and systems, they can play Frankenstein, really, can't they? Maniacs. And that's what Frankenstein was about, too. Gain more control over individual life, now to the point of surveilling your insides. So the medical industry in the shadows has been developing extensively in the recent years. Now, many of these technologies are able to capture very sensitive information about patients, so the LOB devices can track, record, and store users' whereabouts, bodily functions, and what they see, hear, and even think, according to WEF's detailed paper Shaping the Future of the Internet of Bodies, the World Economic Forum. It's a briefing paper from 2020. You can look that up and I'll attach it tonight. Shaping the Future of the Internet of Bodies. At present, there are already many unresolved questions about who has the authority to access these data sets and how they can use it. Could you imagine how this is now? So data collection processes pose terrible risk to privacy, including what's being collected, how often, were the users provided informed consent, because they didn't with these jabs, did they, beforehand, and whether they can easily opt out of collection or forbid companies to sell their data. This is very grey area. Privacy and security risks, and all of this. Just your personal autonomy. I mean, you're being raped. When you get one of the, I've always said this, when you get one of these COVID-19 injections to protect you from a fake virus, you're being raped by technology. And that's just a fact. That's what it feels like to be raped by technology. And everybody's getting raped. And the seeds that are getting planted inside people's very makeup, well, it's changing and rearranging things and hacking, you know, and it's laying its little AI alien eggs. You saw that movie Alien, right? Again, showing you in the movies what they're going to do, but wrapping it up in horror and entertainment so people just don't get it. So really crazy. Genetic harvesting via COVID tests. This is where I'm kind of leading into tonight anyway. In order for any of the COVID-19 tests to be conducted, they need to collect genetic samples from everyone. This is part of the overall testing processes in most countries. So there are four different techniques employed: COVID-19 testing, reverse transcription, polymerase chain reaction, RT-PCR, and the current standard test for COVID-19 loop mediated isothermal amplification lamp, lateral flow enzyme linked immunosorbent assay. So that's the ELISA. All of these tests require the collection of your genetic material, usually through taking a sample from your upper respiratory tract. So in this process, a collection swab is pushed deep into the nose, throat, collecting your cells in the process. So other ways of genetic samples that could be deployed are blood samples, depending on the test. Testing stations then collect your personal details so they know who the genetic sample belongs to and who to report the coronavirus test results back to. But it's not about that. It's about taking your genetic DNA makeup testing and getting your name and boom. Direct to consumer genetic testing. And there's no regulation. Where's this stuff going? So let's go through the entire process here. PCR tests fundamentally only work on DNA, and COVID-19 viruses uses RNA as its genetic code. So RNA is similar to DNA, but only has a single strand. This is their theory. So however, viral enzymes can now convert RNA into DNA, as was discovered decades ago. These techniques have been harnessed along with PCR to find unique signatures in RNA. In the case, PCR is referred to as reverse transcription PCR, or RT or PCR. At the lab, the sample is processed and RNA is isolated and collected. Everything else is removed. The RNA is mixed with other ingredients, enzymes, DNA, polymerase and reverse transcriptase, DNA building blocks, cofactors, probes and primers that recognize and bind to SARS-CoV-2. But there is no SARS-CoV-2. There's no virus. So it's just talking about what they're saying. So the process as follows: using heat and enzymes, converted viral DNA strands are forced apart and short primers of DNA matching the complementary strand of the viral DNA template stick together, functioning as an artificial start site for the DNA synthesis. Once complete, the RNA is converted to DNA copy, and that single copy is then converted into millions of copies using PCR that can be easily detected. It is clear that the very process of the PCR test itself is done by extracting your genetic information. Now consider that the coronavirus isn't even able to be isolated in a laboratory to begin with. So we just got to go through what they're saying, that whole process. But, you know, what if there isn't any virus and you can't isolate it? It becomes very obvious that this isn't about collecting data to compare to a boogeyman strain, a fake virus, right? So this is about amassing a database of human genetic information, and unfortunately, participants have no way of knowing just where their DNA is ending up. So they're taking your DNA, folks. So now we know how the PCR, or why the PCR tests are why they're doing this and how they're working. So the collected information and where it's stored and who has access to it and what are the purposes or where it's going. So after collecting your genetic information, there are a range of places where DNA is stored, including public health unit databases. These actors are centralized reporting and storage repository, as well as private companies, sometimes referred to as biobanks. It would not be hard for COVID-19 tests to be passed on for other research purposes as well. This process is officially known as surreptitious genetic testing. Or surreptitious, is that right? Surreptitious, I think it is, genetic testing. I've not heard that term, you guys might know that. Which generally happens when a sample containing a person's genetic material is tested for other reasons without their knowledge. So that would be, you know, you got tested for COVID-19 somewhere, but then the test has been taken somewhere else for something else, and you don't know why, and you're not being told. But that's your personal genetic information is just being charted around everywhere. So your information is stored beyond the original purpose, is basically that's what it's saying, and handed on to a number of other contractors or characters. Much like general internet data is passed on by social media giants to third-party advertisers. So where's it going? Where are COVID tests going? So those conducting the COVID-19 test could be unwitting players in this process. which is a big concern. If you've undergone a COVID-19 test or know someone who has, ask the following questions. Do you know where the test results with your unique genetic information is being stored? Do you know who has access to them? And do you know if any third parties have access or even backdoor access? And these are the simple questions that people need to be asking at these fucking tents and places where you go and get tested. People need to be asking these testers this. That's what you need to ask them. Australian government websites don't reveal too much, or if anything. There's no detail on there. They push the jabs and testing onto you, but they don't reveal what's going on behind all of this. If they won't tell us where the information's going, we could have a little look. So the COVID-19 Host Genetics Initiative includes 127 studies in an international collaboration to investigate the genomes of those infected by coronavirus, right? There's another incident-sounding wink initiative underway called the International COVID-19 Data Research Alliance, so co-founded and funded, of course, by Bill Gates Foundation. And that man that he's supposed to be married to, the weirdos, the Freemasons love this kind of stuff, you know. They're all homosexuals, these men. They're all old homosexuals, or they're pedophiles, and so they're married to other men who dress up like women. They're sick. Another co-host of the event 201 and the forefront of eugenics agenda. So no surprises there. It seems clear that the truth is this: agreements are being struck without knowledge or consent for genetic information to be shared across the world with organizations in pharmaceutical and other industries, including vaccine businesses. So the only question left to ask really is, what is the agenda of mass genetic data collection? Your DNA is a unique marker of your identity, and it reveals many things about you, your health and your family. There are many companies who are vying to capture your DNA from the moment you are born. Some states even assemble huge banks of DNA or blood from newborns, for example, in Victoria. They're doing that, aren't they? So COVID-19 is no different. This isn't about a virus. This is about taking your most sensitive details, what makes you you. And this is multi-trillion dollar pharmaceutical corporations. You know, they got your data, don't they? So really important. And there was an article here, it's too big to go over. It was one I was just scooting through before. It was from The Guardian, and it was the strange case of Australia's millions of COVID tests. Where did it all go? What was done there? People are still going and getting these tests, and they don't understand. It's the most personal thing that you can ever do. This goes beyond your identity and sex and all this stuff, you know. This is your genetic makeup, the secrets of life and the universe. The most important things ever. They're taking it. Where's it going? They're tricking you into being scared about a fake virus, and they're ripping out your soul. This is crazy, folks. Crazy. Also, I don't want to go into this because it's just horrible and it's stupid, and this is what they teach us from a very young age. This one's from the New York Times magazine, but this is one of millions, and they're basically saying that our DNA is garbage. They're saying in this article that a piece of, like an onion or whatever, has more importance if we're looking at, genetic makeup and in importance than you do. You know what I mean? This is what they're saying. And so we know this. We've grown up with this, that basically maybe less than 10% of your DNA as a human has some kind of use, but 90% of it is just rubbish. Your DNA, your makeup, this coding that makes you you, this print, you know, they don't want us to find out who we really are. And I've spoken to people who do this DNA activation. You know, I think this is a really important thing to get into, you know, now that I look at this. So these Jewish papers are telling you that your DNA is junk. Well, that's how they see us, right? But obviously, if our DNA, 90% or whatever, or more of our DNA or whatever it is, they say is junk, then why are they injecting us with these, these inoculations to alter it? Why are they attacking us then? If it's junk, let us go. Why do you care? But this is the whole thing, isn't it? They've always told us this, that our DNA is junk, that it's rubbish, it's garbage. But why are they so fascinated in it? It obviously holds the secrets of life and the universe and the world around us, and obviously most of it, or a large portion of it, they don't understand yet, but they're working on it. But, you know, how do you create a situation as well where you can go around the entire planet and get billions of people's DNA? Well, you create a story about a virus. You make up a fake virus and then you do it that way. So what a DNA harvesting, you know, explosion that was. You know, because everybody on planet Earth, like, well, not everybody, you know, but billions. I mean, I don't even know how many. I don't know how many, because I know a lot more people got tested than even got jabbed. They're still getting tested now. A lot of people who are jabbed are getting tested, but how many do you think it would be who are tested and jabbed? How many people got jabbed and tested, or tested and jabbed, or just tested but gave up their DNA? Kind of blows my mind. I mean, how many would it be worldwide, do you think? How many? I mean, what a way to do it. How can you go around the entire planet and take everybody's DNA, or half the planet's DNA, or whatever it is? You tell them they're going to get a virus. Just turn off the Wi-Fi, folks. Yeah. But there's all these articles, all these stupid universities and people telling us that, you know, they're not coded, there's nothing in them, you know, 98.8% of the, you know, DNA that we have in our bodies, it's garbage, because you're garbage. Because these parasites are feeding on us, and they don't want us to find out something, right? So that's why they're doing it. They don't want us to find out something about ourselves, what we're connected to, who we are, who made us, where we're from, what's really going on here. The secrets of life, folks, our biggest questions, the biggest answers, you know, our whole lives, it's all been make-believe. Everything's been made up, and they've just strung us along in a dream world. They've lied about everything, and they've told us this is your life. This is your past. This is your future. That's the stars up there. You know, this is that. This is this. Blah, blah, blah. Here's your books. Here's your universities. Here's your schooling system. You know, we're going to brainwash you. There's your TV. Here's your political figures. That's it, you know. Our whole lives has just been an absolute saturated with this scam, because There's a parasitic like entity here that is trying to stop human beings, all of us, from finding out who we really are and connecting with the real truth here, because obviously they're terrified that if we do that, it's game over. So how do we really stop them? Well, we scare them about a jab, we study their DNA, we work out these jabs, and we finalize them, and we get better at them, and we inject it into these idiots, and we cut up their genes and we change them. So let's cover some articles here that you may not have seen. That I keep everything in files, and I went back to some of this stuff and dug up some things because I found it interesting. This one was from John Rappaport's blog from February 22 of 2017. The new vaccines will permanently alter your DNA. Now, keep in mind, they're telling us they won't. It says here, I reported on this stunner in my previous article, Genetically Modified People, What Could Go Wrong, but it deserves its own article. And this information needs to go out far and wide. So the reference is the New York Times, 3/9/15, Protection Without a Vaccine. It describes the frontier of research. Here are key quotes that illustrate the use of synthetic genes to protect against disease while changing the genetic makeup of humans. This is not science fiction. So by delivering synthetic genes into the muscles of the experimental monkeys, the scientists are essentially re-engineering the animals to resist disease. The sky's the limit, said Michael Farzan, an immunologist at Scripps and lead author of the new study. The first human trial based on this strategy, called immunoprophylaxis by gene transfer, IGT, is underway, and several new ones are planned. That was nearly 2 years ago. So IGT is altogether different from traditional vaccination. It is instead sort of like a form of gene therapy. Scientists isolate the genes that produce powerful antibodies against certain diseases and then synthesize the artificial versions, and the genes are placed into viruses and injected into human tissue, usually muscle. So here is the punchline. The viruses invade human cells with their DNA payloads, and the synthetic gene is incorporated into the recipient's own DNA. If all goes well, the new genes instruct the cells to begin manufacturing powerful antibodies. Read that again. The synthetic gene is incorporated into the recipient's own DNA. Alteration of the human genetic makeup. Not just a visit, permanent residence. And once a person's DNA is changed, doesn't it follow that he or she will pass on that change to the next generation of children and so on down the line? The Times article taps Dr. David Baltimore for an opinion. Dr. Baltimore says that he envisions that some people might be leery of a vaccination strategy that means altering their own DNA. No, even if it prevents a potentially fatal disease. Yes, some people might be leery if they have two or three working brain cells. This is genetic roulette with a loaded gun. And the further implications are clear. Vaccines can be used as a cover story for the injections of any or all genes whose actual purpose is re-engineering humans. The emergence of this Frankenstein technology, who come up with Frankenstein juice, is paralleled by see, Frankenstein's real, folks. They're showing you in entertainment again way back then what they're going to do to us, but they're using entertainment to get the message through. Can you see it now? Why all these movies have a meaning? The pressure and propaganda are planet-wide. So if you're going to alter humans, for example, to make many of them more docile and weak, and some of them stronger in order to restructure society, you want everyone under the umbrella. No exceptions, no exceptions. The freedom and the right to refuse vaccines has always been vital. It is more vital now than ever. Or it's more vital than ever now. Right? Boy, is it. So let's look at this one. Let's fact check Reuters. They say DNA vaccines don't change your genetic makeup. June 23rd, 2020. So this is the consequences of the COVID-19 jabs. So DNA vaccines, they would alter people's genetic makeup permanently. But Reuters has seen fit to claim a future COVID-19 DNA vaccine will not genetically modify humans. This comes from their fact-check team. This is what I was talking about before, false claim. So, you know, I was even on DuckDuckGo before, and it's just fact-checkers, false claims, fact-checkers. You just can't escape it now. Everywhere you go, they're just injecting this into the entire world's internet, that it's false, that a COVID-19 vaccine will genetically modify humans. To reach this conclusion, Reuters cites two people, Mark Lynas, a visiting fellow at Cornell University's Alliance for Science group, and Dr. Paul McCrae, professor of pediatrics, microbiology, and internal medicine at the University of Iowa. I have cited the New York Times March 10, 2015, Protection Without a Vaccine. Here are quotes from the Times article. By delivering synthetic genes into the muscles of the experimental monkeys, the scientists are essentially re-engineering the animals to resist disease. The sky's the limit, said Michael Farsan, an immunologist at Scripps and lead author of the new study. The first human trial based on this strategy, called immunoprophylaxis, by gene transfer, that's the IGT, is underway, and several new ones are planned. That was 5 years ago. So IGT is altogether different from traditional vaccination. It is instead a form of gene therapy. Scientists isolate the genes that produce powerful antibodies and against certain diseases, and then synthesize artificial versions, and the genes are placed into viruses and injected into the human tissue, usually muscles. So the viruses invade human cells with their DNA payloads, and the synthetic gene is incorporated into the recipient's own DNA. If all goes well, the new genes instruct the cells to begin manufacturing powerful antibodies. The Times article taps Dr. David Baltimore for an opinion, and he says that he envisions that some people might be leery of a vaccination. We covered this, but just incorporating it again. Strategy that means altering their own DNA, even if it prevents a potentially fatal disease. So it's a battle of the experts, and the two men Reuters cited versus the Times' David Baltimore. So I don't hold up the scientific work of any of these men for greater claim. I'm only interested in which man knows whether a DNA vaccine could permanently alter the genetic makeup of every recipient's DNA. David Baltimore is a Nobel laureate, 1975, in physiology, medicine, and the past president of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, 97 and 2006. He's one of the most famous scientists in the world. I'm betting Reuters would happily trade their unknown experts for Baltimore if he would side with their claim. Perhaps they'll now approach him, and perhaps he'll change his mind. But the New York Times has him on the record in 2015 admitting that DNA vaccines do alter genetic makeup. Man, this is important, folks. World-famous mainstream experts don't readily admit this sort of thing out in the open, unless they're stating the obvious. So the verdict on the Reuters fact-check team, fact-checkers checked the wrong box. Final point for the moment. Researchers are fond of saying their genetic technologies are quite safe. This is a lie. Claiming, for example, that a DNA COVID vaccine would alter humans' genetic makeup in entirely predictable and harmless ways is like saying a car without brakes doing 100 miles an hour set loose on a highway during a rush hour would create no damage whatsoever. So new vaccines will permanently alter your DNA. Let's have a look at natural news. I've got a few saved there as well in a folder that I have. This was April 9th, 21. Could mRNA, hang on, shut that down, vaccines, shots permanently alter DNA? Recent science suggests they might. Over the past year, it would be all but impossible for Americans not to notice the media's decision to make vaccines the dominant COVID narrative, rushing to do so even before any coronavirus-attributed deaths occurred. They were pushing the jabs. The media's slanted coverage has provided a particularly fruitful public relations boost for messenger mRNA vaccines, decades in the making but never approved for human use, helping to usher in these experimental technologies. These things have been around for a long time. They know exactly what they're doing. That's what I talked about on one of the shows, didn't I? That we're made to believe that Pfizer and these drug companies just manically tried to make up these jabs to help with the COVID situation. And that's to apply to people's gullible side. That's what I've always said. These creatures know exactly how we think, and they know how to pull at our heartstrings and how to get into us at an emotional level. And so they basically said that these vaccine companies were working their asses off, and it's not really accepted and it's experimental, but we've done the best we can to help you. You know what I mean? These things have already been made up. They know exactly what they're doing. Exactly. This is experimental technology down to the finest point. Just looking through it. Reverse transcription. So as the phrase reverse transcription implies, the DNA to mRNA pathway is not always a one-way street. Enzymes called reverse transcriptases can also convert RNA into DNA, allowing the latter to be integrated into the DNA in the cell nucleus. Nor is reverse transcription uncommon, so geneticists report that over 40% of mammalian genomes comprise the products of reverse transcription. So the evidence cited in the Harvard MIT researchers indicates that endogenous reverse transcriptase enzymes may facilitate a reverse transcription of coronavirus mRNAs and trigger their integration into human genome. The authors suggest that while the clinical consequences require further study, detrimental effects are a distinct possibility, and depending on the integrated viral fragments, insertion sites of the human genome, and an individual's underlying health status, could include a more severe immune response. Fauci is a fairly newish one. Fauci and the CDC lied. mRNA vaccines do convert to DNA, altering the human body's genome. Skimming through things because I'd be here for days. Everything Tony Fauci of the, is that his name? U.S. National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and Rochelle Walensky of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have been telling us about the safety and effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines is false, or proving to be false. In my book, it's false. Scientists from Sweden published the results of a study they piloted showing that Fauci flu shots do in fact alter DNA, human DNA, permanently. Are you getting this, folks? Have you read this? Scientists in Sweden publishing these results that these jabs alter human DNA permanently. This is unbelievable. This is the worst. There's nothing worse than this. This is it. this is the spiritual war, man. But how do we know? What do you do? How do you know this? How are we going to tell? Published in the peer-reviewed journal Current Issues of Molecular Biology, the paper fully deconstructs the myth that the messenger RNA, mRNA injection from Pfizer and BioNTech dissipates not long after being injected into the body. So after being injected, the so-called vaccine travels to cells within the human liver and invades their nuclei. Once inside, the injection spurs the production of line 1, a gene expression enzyme that produces natural DNA. So what the Pfizer injection does is cause the cell to overproduce line 1. It's synthetic mRNA that then leaves the nucleus and moves to the cell's cytoplasm, translating into line 1 protein. A segment of the protein called the open reading frame 1 or ORF1 then goes back into the nucleus, where it attaches to the vaccine's mRNA and reverse transcribes into spike DNA, reports explain about the process. So reverse transcription, in case you are unfamiliar with it, is when DNA gets produced from RNA instead of a portion of DNA, serving as a template to produce an mRNA molecule inside nuclei. In this study, we present evidence that COVID-19 mRNA vaccine BNT162b2 is able to enter the human liver cell line, HUH7 in vitro, the researchers wrote in their paper. BNT162b2 mRNA is reverse transcribed intracellularly into DNA as fast as 6 hours. And some folks were asking about this, and I'm just covering this information that I've saved. They're saying this is as fast as 6 hours after the BNT162b2 exposure. So will the COVID vaccines turn the fully jabbed herd into transhuman zombies? Well, that's what's happening in Chile. They're bringing in a law for it. That's just the truth, folks. Read it. I put it up. Boy. That's a really important study, isn't it? You know? So we'll look at this one. Bayer executive admits mRNA vaccines are an example of gene therapy. Bayer Pharmaceuticals Division President Stefan Ulrich was heard saying at the World Health Summit in November last year that the mRNA vaccines are an example of cell and gene therapy. You just heard when I played at the start of the show, Klaus Schwab. It changes you. Ulrich said that Bayer had been taking the leap to drive innovation in cell and gene therapies, including the mRNA vaccines against the COVID-19 so-called coronavirus 2 years ago. The company asked the public whether or not they would be willing to take gene or cell therapies to be injected into their bodies. He stated that there would have been a 95% pushback. However, he also observed that the pandemic has opened many people's eyes to innovation. So our successes over these 18 months should embolden us to fully focus much more closely on access, innovation, and collaboration to unleash health for all. Unleash health, hell for all. Especially as we enter a top of everything else that is happening, a new era of science. People just want it, you see. Yeah, interesting. This is all to do with the Agenda 2030 Great Reset and Klaus Schwab. I can put these up for you anyway. And we're starting to get into a lot of information about reducing births, aren't we? About these injections and what they're doing here. And we don't know anything yet, but absolutely this is happening. So this guy and Schwab are major advocates for the widespread use of these injections and these shots, which do not complete clinical trials until 2023. So we've got all this year and into next year as well. They're still going to be pushing them. These are clinical world planetary trials, folks. Have been linked to millions of adverse events and thousands of deaths worldwide. The ultimate goal is to reduce births. Many of the notable adverse effects of the mRNA vaccines are in line with that goal. So the World Health Organization data, for instance, shows many cases of stillbirths, vaginal hemorrhaging, irregular menstrual cycles, miscarriages linked to vaccines. There's studies, COVID vaccines kill 9 out of 10 babies in the first trimester of pregnancy. Even ex-president of Pfizer, Michael Yeadon, said that the COVID vaccines pose a severe risk to your ability to conceive and carry a baby to term. He also said that the infertility rates are deliberate and that he believes whoever is doing it is lying in an attempt to smear the reputations of those who are trying to warn the public of this goal. Ulrich told the summit in his concluding statements that the global health system is not just about donating medicines at lower prices, it is also being on site to help put the Great Reset into practice. From the expose, these are ones I saved as well. This one's from November 19, 2021. The UK COVID testing company plans to sell customers' DNA for medical research. Wording buried in a 5,000-word policy document from a leading COVID test provider, which is planning to sell swabs containing customers' DNA, shows that even children's DNA does not have safeguards or protection. The company's documents reveal our DNA is being stored, potentially indefinitely, and can be used for research or sold to third parties without our consent or knowledge. CIGN Post Diagnostics, a UK government approved supplier trading as Express Test, provides rapid on-site COVID-19 testing. It has 71 walk-in locations across the UK and is reported to have delivered up to 3 million tests since June last year. The company charges between €35 and £120 for a PCR test, and is estimated to have generated tens of millions of pounds, I'm right, but that's just showing you in euro the price from, so I don't know what that is in pounds, but they test fees alone, so the Telegraph reported. As well as the public who require COVID tests for travel purposes, it has provided testing services to leading sports entertainment and business brands, including the PGA, European Tour, Scottish Premiership and Leagues, and BBC and Netflix. So their documents reveal it will analyze samples to sell the information to third parties, and claimed it will also use the medical data to learn more about human health and develop new drugs and products. The Information Commissioner's Office is investigating, so they have partnered, this signpost has partnered with an all-party parliamentary group, business in a pandemic COVID world, and Resilient, a trading subsidiary of the charity React Disaster Response. It never ends. These are probably all to do with George Soros or the Rothschilds and Rockefeller Corporations, and they make up all these these places, you know what I mean? But it's all, you can all tie it back to the same people. Resilient. Boy. And this is happening in China and elsewhere as well. China is building the world's largest police-run DNA database, enrolling tens of millions of individuals with no control over how their samples are collected, stored, and used. They're locking down the biggest cities in China again now. Locking them down by force. You don't have any choice. And the Australian Strategic Policy Institute said in a report released in June 2020. Since late 2017, police have swept across China to collect enough samples to build a vast DNA database. The project, which had been focused on tracking ethnic minorities and other or more targeted groups, aims to use genetics to control people. It adds to a growing sophisticated surveillance net that the police are deploying across the country, one that increasingly includes advanced cameras, facial recognition systems, and artificial intelligence. That's what it's all about, folks. This was the one that we were covering not long ago. Study: Pfizer's COVID-19 jabs goes into liver cells and is converted in DNA. And this is the fact checkers and the Centers for Disease Control and even Pfizer themselves have made attempts to assure the public that the COVID vaccines do not change or interact with DNA in any way. However, a new study conducted by Swedish researchers, this is the one that I mentioned before, proves their claims to be false by finding that messenger RNA, mRNA from the Pfizer COVID vaccine, is able to enter human liver cells and is converted into DNA. In their paper that was published in Current Issues of Molecular Biology, researchers Alden et al. From the Department of Clinical Sciences, Lund University, found that when the mRNA vaccine Comirnaty enters the human liver cells, it triggers the cell's DNA, which is inside the nucleus, to increase the production of the line 1 gene expression to make mRNA. So the mRNA then leaves the nucleus and enters the cell's cytoplasm, where it translates into line 1 protein. A segment of the protein called the open reading frame 1, or ORF1, then goes back into the nucleus. They're cutting. You know what they're fucking doing? It's like editing a movie. And we're the movie. Our bodies are the movie, and they've just got these editors in there, and they're just like, they're going in like on a computer screen and just cutting and chopping and editing and rearranging. That's what they're fucking doing. This is crazy. That's what it reminds me of. They're editing a movie where it attaches to the vaccine's mRNA and reverse transcribes into spike DNA. Reverse transcription is when DNA is made from RNA. So whereas the normal transcription process involves a portion of the DNA serving as a template to make an mRNA molecule inside the nucleus. And they got evidence as well. And this has been done. This is crazy. This is crazy, folks. Autoimmune disorders. Through conducting the study, they also found spike proteins expressed on the surface of the liver cells that researchers say may be targeted by the immune system and possibly cause autoimmune hepatitis, as there have been case reports on individuals who developed autoimmune hepatitis after the vaccinations. One was a healthy 35-year-old female who developed autoimmune hepatitis a week after her dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The spike-directed antibodies induced by vaccination may also trigger autoimmune conditions in predisposed individuals. targeting you. So that's interesting, isn't it? So it was assumed that the vaccine spike protein would remain mostly in the injection site, bullshit, and last up to several weeks like other proteins produced in the body, but studies are showing that is not the case, and that spike proteins may circulate in the body after an infection or injection with a COVID-19 vaccine. So a Japanese regulatory agency's biodistribution study of the Pfizer vaccine showed that some of the mRNAs moved from the injection site and through the bloodstream and were found in various organs such as the liver, spleen, adrenal glands, and ovaries of rats 48 hours following the injection. And yet another study was conducted that found the spike proteins made in the body after receiving a Pfizer COVID-19 shot have been found on tiny membrane vessels called exosomes that mediate cell-to-cell communication by transferring genetic materials to other cells for at least 4 months after the second vaccine dose. So according to Doctors for COVID Ethics, which is an organization consisting of physicians and scientists, the persistence of the spike protein in the body raises the prospect of sustained inflammation within and damage to organs which express the spike protein. There's so many of this. This is one that some listeners were asking me about as well. Pfizer BioNTech mRNA incorporates into human DNA in as little as 6 hours. And that's the study as well. And I can post that in. Some people were asking about that one, I'm just going through it. So that was one that people were asking me about, but the same Swedish studies. And this is one that may be on the website as well. Scientific studies found the COVID-19 vaccines do interfere with our DNA. What are the consequences? This is just talking about the cheerleading and pushing the launch of these experimental injections, and no one was informed or told anything. You know, people were threatened. You were going to get sacked and all of this. This is unbelievable. This was interesting as well. Can mRNA vaccines alter intelligence? This is a complex one, isn't it? So it's just absolutely shocking how apparently sane, caring healthcare professionals ignore research findings and how politicians refuse to meet and discuss concerns with others and other politicians and stuff like that. So I'm asking myself, is there any valid reason to suppose that receiving an mRNA vaccine degrades decision making, ethical or empathetic capacity? Almost seems like people who have had a couple of these shots are already under mind control to me. They become champions of these jabs. They can't stop talking about it. They want everybody to be jabbed. It's so weird. This is not an ad hominem attack, I fully realize I am going to be heavily criticized and even crucified for asking this question, but I believe it is a valid scientific question to ask. It may not be scientifically fashionable, or to some acceptable, to ask questions about the relationship between mind and body, consciousness and matter, but any answers could point to exit strategies from the current pointless and destructive confrontation. Many of you will be aware of the recently published research from Sweden, tying that up all here tonight, which found that genetic sequences from mRNA vaccines can integrate into liver cells in vitro. So this builds upon earlier research and indicates pathways for genetic interference to be caused by COVID vaccines. Possible mechanism to explain the cases of autoimmune liver disease observed after COVID-19 vaccination. Consciousness and DNA. Importantly, no one understands the relationship between higher human functions and genetics. The known integrative role consciousness plays in physics, biology, and all phases of life has been ignored for over a century in favor of a generally mechanistic or reductionist view of life and the universe. So basically bullshitting to us while they cover all of the really important stuff and keep us blinded until we just get shoveled into a grave and we just live a life of ignorance watching TV and we've got no clue. It's just no longer plausible or even realistic to overlook the key role of consciousness. It is inconceivable that the DNA molecule is not connected with consciousness. And this is where I'm going to tie it all up tonight as we move forward here, folks. The DNA molecule and the connection with our consciousness, our soul. Now, if these jabs are going into that DNA molecule and changing it in any way, are they actually attacking? I think we talked about this with Tony Sayers or someone else. We were definitely having a conversation about this a while ago, maybe last year. Are they trying to erase the God gene? What they call the God gene. Your consciousness. So when you die, what happens now if you've had these jabs? DNA lies at the center of the cell. So without losing its structure or integrity, it succeeds in producing and directing the frantic activity of millions of proteins and other cellular components rushing about within the cell membrane. So the system the DNA has set up and controls is capable of ensuring that damage to itself is more or less instantly repaired after the countless collisions and oxidative damage it endures. It also directs the specialization of individual cells to undertake billions of individual tasks within the human body, liver cells, nerve cells, brain cells, kidney cells, reproductive cells, lung cells, heart cells, so on. It is without doubt that the DNA must do so in constant communication with trillions of other DNA molecules in other cells. So DNA is at the heart of a network of field of intelligence that has the hallmark of consciousness. Intelligence self-referral functioning. It is now well known that cells have memory. Transplant recipients, especially heart recipients, can acquire the memories and behaviors of their donors. We know about this. We know about this. You know, people who are getting organ transplants take on behaviors and remember things and stuff that that person of that organ that donated had in their body. And this is not the organ itself. It's through the memory here. So this is something deeper, folks. It talks about cases here. The changes can extend in some cases to deeper personality changes, decisions, commands from the brain, decisions that are not just automatically programmed, but are apparently novel responses to unusual threats. These responses point to a net of consciousness at work with individual cells as communication nodes of the network. New nodes inserted into the cell network integrate with the total functioning of the organism and change the behavior of the network. Yet this is more than a network of individual elements in communication. The human individual physiology, biology, neurology, and psychology is an integrated entity in its own right, functioning as a whole. The whole is more than the sum of its parts. The hallmark of this holistic entity is functioning intelligent consciousness. There is a reciprocal relationship of a mutual interaction between the consciousness of the cell and the consciousness of the individual. Every cell influences the holistic value of the individual and is in turn influenced by the holistic value of consciousness. Every cell instantly responds to the consciousness of the individual and feeds back information and responds to the holistic consciousness of the individual. We instantly register even the smallest pinprick. And this relationship between genes and intelligence is not explored. They don't want that, you see. It is not beyond rational thought to propose that if genetic sequences integrate into many cellular components of the physiology, they may influence mental states. A wide-scale disruption of DNA could be a result of mRNA vaccination. It has already been proposed by some as a possibility. This might be analogous to the effect of the MCAS software enhancement on the Boeing 737 MAX. This was sufficient to override the stability of a complex but long-standing plane design. No one expected the system to fail, but it did. No one really understands how much or how higher human functions like the assessments of fairness emerge, nor how they might be altered. What about love? You know, the way that we work and operate, you know what I mean? We understand that animals do not have the same refined, reflective, nuanced, moral judgments. Morals. What's right and what's wrong? That we have, they are largely instinctual. It is natural for a lion to kill an antelope instinctually, but humans have a choice. Animals share a great deal of DNA with ourselves, but somehow humans have free will. And no one knows how this miracle is achieved by our genetics. We already know that gene therapy experiments on animals often go horribly wrong. Is the highly developed and prized capacity of humans for creativity, morality, and empathy something that can be put at risk by genetic manipulation? No one is asking this question because the complexity of genetic function is beyond current science. Yet some scientists feel gaily confident to interfere with millions of years of evolution. This weird bravado is completely at odds with past experimentation, which has had disastrous results. Now it is being forced upon the whole population without a moral qualm. It's frightening. Research reveals the vaccinated despise the unvaccinated, and I've had personal experience with this. Some say that this is a form of mass hypnosis, or others that our fear of illness is being cleverly exploited. Many have close friends or relatives who have become suddenly angry and ready to cut off all ties. We know about this, don't we? The insensitivity is frightening. Researchers at Aarhus University in Denmark surveilled attitudes in 21 countries and found that vaccinated people despise those who refuse to get the jab. But the opposite is not true. The researchers found that vaccinated people made stereotypic inferences that that unvaccinated individuals are untrustworthy, unintelligent, making the antipathy resemble prejudice towards other deviant groups. However, those who have refused the jab, by and large, do not think less of those who sought the protection it apparently offered. So vaccinated people despise those who refuse to get the jab, but the opposite is not true, and this is from a study. Loss of cognitive ability destroying our world. So have these extreme attitudes been curated by governments and mainstream media, or are they driven by a loss of cognitive perspective? President Macron says he wants to piss off the unvaccinated. Justin Trudeau refers to protesters as taking some space and adds, do we tolerate these people? And Jacinta Ardern in New Zealand says the unvaccinated don't deserve everyday activities. And we've had this in Australia, haven't we? We've been going through it. So are they expressing carefully considered political sentiments, or has their judgment been impaired and their emotions inflamed? Is their refusal to openly debate scientific issues a mark of immature thinking? Have they reverted to a more primitive and fearful outlook that professed 2 years ago, and why would they do so? It is certainly the case that evolutionary biologists argue that increased genetic sophistication led to higher human abilities. So can we lose them through genetic experimentation? We are witnessing a world hazarding a war whose worst consequences are almost unthinkable. Nuclear annihilation. In this, the whole world has gone beyond brinkmanship to purchase conflict. Perhaps the judgment of some politicians has been degraded to the point that frustration, anger, and irrational imaginings of power are sufficient to override any consideration of human extinction. We may never find out until we have passed the point of no return. But the question of the day is, if our intelligence is intimately linked to our DNA, can it be degraded by gene-based vaccines? This is the point of the podcast tonight. That's just what I wanted to come in here and ask. Can that intimate, completely unique and original relationship between our intelligence and who we are in the DNA, can it be degraded and perverted and broken down and even smashed apart and changed by these gene-based vaccines? It's a really interesting article, isn't it? It's a really interesting article. I think that is consciousness and DNA and these jabs. Wow. This is something I've been pestering people about and asking, and I'm like, do you think? Because how can they touch our consciousness, right? It's energy. Our consciousness is energy. Our soul, it's energy, you know? So it can never be distorted or fooled with or messed with or touched. Really? What do you reckon? Seems like they're doing something here. Are they trying to disrupt or cut off the communication there? Because for me, and the study I've done and who I've spoken to, I don't really believe that our consciousness, our soul is actually inside us. I think it's all interconnected, but I don't think it sits inside us. You know, let me know what you think, but I don't think our souls are inside us. I think that there's a connection there, and when our body dies, it gets released. But there's a connection there with what makes us us and all this DNA makeup. It's all very personally and just perfectly interconnected. Maybe they're trying to disrupt this with these jabs. There's so many more of these articles too that I think are really important to cover. And if you would like to, I could keep continuing and keep continuing to cover some of this work. But I just think no one's talking about it, and it is so important, you know. And most people who are getting these jabs, they're not being told this at all. I mean, Jesus. If you were to sit down before you were going to go and get one of those jabs and have conversations like this, do you think anyone would fucking get them? This is so much. This goes to the soul of the matter, folks. This is so much deeper than we could ever imagine. Most people are just thinking, I'm just getting a jab like your kids get when after they're born. You know, I'm just getting a vaccine and I get to keep my job and I get to travel. Do they know the complexities of what's going on here? The insidious nature of this? How deep-rooted this goes to the very soul of the matter, to the heart of things? I mean, this is not what we think it is. As I said, these drug companies didn't just come up with these vaccines to save us all from some fake virus. This has been going on for a long time, and they're still building. They're still building, and they're perfecting their system here. Most people took them right, so they're now stuck in the trap. This is the whole thing, you know? It's like selling your soul to the devil for 3 wishes type thing, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. They have conned us into giving up our souls in return for some better life that they pretended to take away from us. So if you think about it like that, it really is unbelievable, you know? They pretended to take away people's liberties and freedoms and lock them inside and treat them like animals and all of this and threaten their jobs and everything. But everything was a bluff. It was all a scam. It was all a card bluff. You know? And they created this whole scam and bluff to scare you into giving up your soul, your consciousness, for an injection. And that would give you back the old life that you're so used to and that you wanted back so much. So it's not like they were giving you something that you didn't have while you kept living your normal life. And they gave you money and wealth or what, you know, and women and a nice car or whatever. they pretended to steal people's lives. And then to get that life back, they sold it back to them through getting an inoculation. But at the same time, unknowingly, these people gave up their souls. Did they? What do you reckon? Were people tricked into giving up their souls, their consciousness, in a way? Their DNA, their very makeup, what makes them special, what makes us us? Were people tricked into giving that up, all based on an absolute 100% scam? They didn't force you, they tricked you into giving it up. You were scammed into giving it up. Now they've interfered with it. Now they're going to have complete control. Very interesting subject. Very interesting subject. Anyway, folks, we'll chat again on the next one. Hope you guys are doing fine. Please take care. Contact me anytime. Let us know what you think of the podcast or if you have any interesting links or anything to add. Always good to take on board. And we'll chat again on the next one. Please take care. And thanks so much for your support. Ciao for now, guys.